Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back into Sports Talk with Bobby Hebert, and I'm Mark Menard in for Christian Garrick. And as we come back with a little AC/DC money talks, money certainly talks in the NFL, and that's why the Saints roster is going to look a lot different next season. They had to get rid of a lot of talent to get under the salary cap, and we're asking you at 504-260-1870, which of the players that the Saints got rid of in the offseason will they miss the most outside of Drew Brees? We know they're going to miss number 9, and he's moving on into retirement in the next phase of his career. We've talked about him a lot, but which of the other players that they've let go this offseason will they miss the most? We are going to ask that question first and foremost to our friend of the show, Saints Fans First Take co-host Steve Court, joining the radio huddle. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, but you know what, Mark? Money ain't talking to me. The money needs to start talking.
Well, you had your opportunity for the money to talk.
Yeah, but not the money they're paying these days, right, Steve?
Are you kidding me?
So, Steve,
if I had their money, I'd burn my money.
So, Steve, the question of the day: which of the players that the Saints let go in the offseason are they going to miss the most? We've heard of a lot of names today: Emmanuel Sanders, Trey Hendrickson, Jared Cook, yeah. Thomas Morstead,
Jack Rabbit
Jenkins. Which one do you think they're going to miss the most?
Well, you know, obviously we've excluded number 9 from this, and I understand why, but it's not even fair. But look, there were some really good players in that group, and you knew that at some point that was going to happen, because when you get older guys in this league, they get expensive. And when that happens, you know, this is why you see kind of this bloodletting of this, because these guys are still good ball players. And they're now on the street with them, not on the street, but they're not with the Saints, because they become unaffordable for us at this point because of the salary cap issues and how that works. But look, I've said this for years, I think that, you know, when you look at the hidden yardage, the things that Thomas Morstead has done for us over the years, that he's going to be hard to replace. Now, look, I know he didn't have this stellar year that he's had in the past and fell off a little bit, and that made him it's amazing that a guy like that is that they sort of cut him loose, but you understand why, because it becomes it's a business deal and it's a numbers deal. So I think we're going to miss Morstead a lot. I just think he is that important. Hendrickson had a great year, you know, and look, we're going to miss that 13.5 sacks. That's strong work. You know, it's great,
right.
But he's a guy that you can't, he's not present enough to be consistent, so you don't know what you're going to get year after year with him, because he hasn't had enough skins on the wall to really say, okay, hey, we can afford this, and we'll go up above and beyond what we need to do to keep him. So I understand why they did that. Jack Rabbit, you love guys like that, and you know what I'm talking about, Bobby. You love those kind of guys,
right?
Those gamblers out there. That have the skill and make plays. When they make plays, they make big plays. You're certainly going to miss him. And then Sanders does nothing but catch the football. I thought he was a great acquisition for us when we got him, and he lives up to that. So, you know, Jared Cook, I don't think he realized, or I don't think he ever reached the level that I thought that you know, he's a good ball player, made some good plays for us. But I remember when I first met him and talked to him at that first mini camp, and I said, "Look, I've been watching you for years when you were with the Raiders, and I always thought you were just that close." And I had my thumb and my forefinger, you know, with that kind of inside. I said you were always that close to being in that top tier of tight ends. And he looked at me like I was crazy, and I thought, "And this guy thinks he's, you know, Rob Gronkowski or something like that." And he's not. So that's kind of surprised me a little bit. But hey, it is what it is.
Now, Steve, looking at the trenches and offensive line, the one thing I'm encouraged, because I think if we win on the offensive line, we always have a chance. And you might look at the depth. We lose Nick Easton, but James Hurst. So you were in that meeting room. You've talked about with Zach Strief and the whole offensive line meeting room with that. But to me, I think that's one area that I like our chances a lot, that is going to be status quo going forward, that we're still going to have the same studs up front on the offensive line to help Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill, whatever, trying to run the offense.
Well, you know, Bobby, you and I have been on the same page on this forever because we know football. We know it at a different level. And I think that when you – and you know I say this all the time. There's certain things that people, you and I both say that people say, "Oh, man, you say that all the time." And I always tell people, look, it's what's up front that counts. And it does, because if you can't get anything, you will get nothing done. I don't care who you have at quarterback or wideout or running back or tight end or whatever in these other positions. If the five guys up front can't get it done, it doesn't matter who it is. You're not, your offense is going nowhere, and your team then goes nowhere. It's the engine, and it's the heart and soul of any really good football team. So you know that offensive line, look, McCoy has done nothing at center but get better each and every year. I think he's on his way to being a really good player, and he's been durable. And then you look at Andres Pete gets a lot of criticism. But when he sort of has his act together and he's not overstriding and things like that, and I've watched footwork, he is a tremendous offensive guard. And I think the people that know football realize that. You know that, okay, the right guard's going to be a situation now. And I don't know what's going to happen, you know, with Ruiz and what they're going to do with him at that position. I think he's a good plug-and-play guy. But at this juncture, he still doesn't look as comfortable as I think he should be.
But with that being said, Steve, would you put Ruiz at center and McCoy guard? I mean, you win this or what?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. And look, I think Eric's on his way to being a really, really good one of the top centers in the league. There's no question. But at the same time, he's much more physical and brutish to be in that guard position than Rui. He's much more physical. And you need that kind of physicality at that guard position than you do at center. And I think Ruiz is a better center than he is a guard. I think he's playing out of position. And it's not that he can't get it done, but I don't think he's not going to certainly be at his best at guard, whereas I think Eric could transition better.
And beat a guard.
Correct. And I think that – and then you go to the tackles. And look, Ramczyk he doesn't do anything except play really, really well. And then when you see – you know, TA and the things he does over there, and I'm speaking of Teron, he is so athletic and so good, but you know, you always have that sort of question mark hanging over his head of his availability. And the one thing that you have to have is durability. And look, I understand that, because I didn't have the durability, Bobby, as much as I wanted to. Because of my physical way I played, you know, I kind of kicked my own ass from time to time. And in doing that, you're not as available as you need to be. And so if I could do something over again, I don't know if I could, because that was just my mentality, the way I played. But I certainly would have tried to be more durable.
Right. Now Steve, staying in the trenches, I'm more concerned, because we elaborated on the offensive line, I'm more concerned with the D-line. When I look at, David Onyemata, I mean, a flat-out stud. Cam Jordan, a flat-out stud. Yep. All of a sudden, Malcolm Brown, he's gone. He's gone with the Jaguars. Outstanding against the run. When we brought him in from the Patriots, he's been nothing but outstanding. So Marcus Davenport got a step up for Trey Hendrickson. Now he's going to the Bengals. Then you look at, to me, on the edge, whether it's Davenport or Carl Grandison, they got to step up. And then in the interior, to complement David Onyemata, I mean, we're expecting a lot of Malcolm Roach and Shai Tuttle, considering when you don't have Malcolm, Malcolm Brown, and then Sheldon Rankins is now also going to the Jets.
Yeah. You know, Sheldon Rankins, to me, when he could stay healthy, and again, you and I were, we were kind of going back and forth a little bit about it on text message, and look, you and I both are happy for players. We want players to be able to do the best they can when they can do it, because
get paid,
you just don't, you got to get it while you can, because you know, there's an expiration date on everybody's head. You never know when that is, but there is, and you know, for a guy to be in his position and have two ruptured Achilles tendons is remarkable, first and foremost, that he's
to come back from that.
Yeah, and play at a high level again, which is just extraordinary on his part. And you hope that he's injury free from now on. But look, Shai Tuttle, when he plays, Bobby, he does nothing but show up. Every time he gets in, he does nothing but make plays. And so you hope that he's able to sort of keep that edge. And Roach is the same way. Both those guys are serviceable interior defensive linemen. Onyemata is on his way to being really sort of a guy that is just, you just don't know how good he's going to be, because he's seems like every couple of games he gets better, you know, and every time I think he gets on the field, he gets better because he hasn't played much and comparatively to the rest of the guys. And you look at a guy like that and you realize, you know, what a good job Ryan Nielsen has done with him and the things that he's done to get him to play at that level. You know, Cam, I think, is obviously, you know, kind of looking down the road as far as his career is in kind of in the rearview mirror. I think he's still really one of the better defensive ends and slash old school defensive end outside linebacker type guys that's still capable of doing a lot of things. I think they're, you know, sort of, he's not able to do a lot of things that he used to. But he certainly is still very, very productive.
Well, the whole thing, Steve, we get spoiled with him. He's 32 years of age. But even though he's not getting maybe the sacks you want double digit, that's why, as long as he wants to play, if you could be in the rotation and you stout against the run on first down, you could play a long time. Every down defensive end.
And a lot of times when you get to this age, in this juncture in his career, sometimes, you know, and you know this moniker, sometimes less of Cam Jordan is better, because he's able to really, you know, if they start rotating him in there a little bit more and giving him a blow every now and then, he's going to be a lot more productive going out there. Because I know one thing, as far as an offensive line, when we're on a long drive and they keep reloading with four fresh guys every three or four plays, you know, that makes for a long afternoon. You realize these guys are coming in and your tongue is on the ground.
Well, and you know, Steve, I bring that up because this is unfreaking believable. Cam Jordan, if you look at what he's accomplished throughout his NFL career, I mean, when you're talking about, you know, you got like, you want 65 offensive or defensive plays, 65 to 70.
Has he only missed a game?
No, he hasn't missed anything. What's crazy, Steve, and he's playing 90% of the time. Look at Trey Hendrickson, played 53% of the time. How he got compensated with the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, bang for your buck, quarterback hurries, pressures, however you describe it, sacks. Trey Hendrickson got that done at that level. So what if all of a sudden Cam, and there's 32 teams out there, and you never know where he's going to be in his career, 32 years of age, he'd say, damn, you let me play 50% of the time, watch how productive I might be.
Hey, Bobby, let's table that for just a second, because we got a little breaking news here.
All right.
Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network is reporting on Twitter that the Saints are signing tight end Nick Vannette to a 3-year deal. He was released by the Denver Broncos.
Who's that, Nick Vannette?
Tight end from the Denver Broncos.
Sound like a Frenchman. Vanette? I mean, I don't know. You got to help me out more. You have to give me a little more research on that. I don't know who the hell that is.
Steve, do you know who Nick Vanette is?
Nick Vanette. You know Nick Vanette from Denver?
Nick, he'll be Nick Van A down here. I don't know.
Yeah. Nick. I mean, how good is he, Mark? I don't know. What is he? You have to pull up the number. You have to pull up the numbers.
Pulling up his numbers.
Because is he like a Josh Hill Jr.? I mean, coming to the Saints, I mean, I don't know.
Last season, 17 catches for 166 yards. That was 2019. Last season in Denver, he didn't have a very good year, but he did have a touchdown. 14 catches, 95 yards. We're going to have to do our due diligence.
He's a journeyman tight end.
He's been in the league since 2016.
It's like, you know what? The one thing, if you can run block, I think you could be a Saints tight end.
His best season was in 2018 in Seattle. He had 29 catches for 269 yards and 3 touchdowns.
It's like a poor man's Josh Hill, Steve. I don't know.
A guy like that coming here is, look, this is like tight end heaven. I mean, Sean Payton, the way he uses tight ends and how do we utilize them in our offensive form, you're in a great spot.
Steve, think about this. We need Adam Trautman. We need Adam Trautman to kick ass. I mean, what better position? Because we got Spaulding. You look, going back to Jeremy Shockey. I mean, you go way back how we utilize the tight ends. Think about all the tight ends, and we want to give them the ball. I mean, Jimmy Graham, Jeremy Shockey. You go on and on. The point being, Adam Trautman, come on, this is a great opportunity for you. It doesn't matter the backups.
No, absolutely. Look, getting back to sort of our defensive line, I didn't mean to sort of stray from there. We kind of got off that with the breaking news. somewhat breaking, but in any event, I sort of think that our defensive line is so critical. I mean, that's what I do, Bobby. I study defensive linemen, and that's kind of what because really that they control the football game, or they certainly can. And I think that any time that you have a situation where you're moving those types of guys around, look, I think it's going to be a tremendous opportunity for some of the guys that we can bring in here. And obviously, look, every time Granderson's been in, he makes plays. And I know that he was having a hard time breaking because this is the first time really that Trey Hendrickson has stayed somewhat healthy during the year. And I think that, you know, Granderson has been nothing but he's hell on wheels when he's out there. He really does get some great pressure. And I think that goes a long way, to doing that. And then you obviously, you have the war horse in Cam Jordan and the things he's able to do and the consistency he's had. God, I can't think of another defensive end that has played that position for as long as he has at such a high level and has been as durable as he has. They just don't make those guys anymore. And knock on wood for him. I love it when guys are able to sort of play like that. It's kind of a Ricky Jackson type thing where they just really they play at a high level and they're able to somehow, some way fend off injury. It's great.
Steve, Bobby's got some more for you. Can you hang on through a break?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
All right, hang on. We'll be right back with more of Steve Court, Bobby Hebert. I'm Mark Menard. Sports Talk coming right back on WWL. It pays to listen to WWL. We now have two winners in the free cash contest. Raina from Metairie joins Bruce from Covington in the win column. They each won $1,000 just for listening to WWL. You can win big money, too, in our Intercom National Cash Contest. Listen for the free cash code word right before the top hour news between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Then text that code word to 72881. 72881. Don't miss your shot at $1,000 an hour, $11,000 a day. The free cash contest every weekday on WWL. I'm Mark Menard, in for Christian Garrick, along with Bobby Hebert. And Steve Court was gracious enough to hang on through the break. Bobby, you got a few more for Steve.
Yeah, Steve, I wanted to bring this up because you look at the trenches, the offensive line, and I thought Nick Easton did an outstanding job. It wasn't maybe so much at the beginning, but it seems like he took advantage of the opportunity when you plug and play him. I mean, Nick Easton was outstanding. Look, a six-year veteran, 28 years of age out of Harvard. But what is your take when you compare? Because we know how offensive line, but you have to have the depth, plug-and-play guy. How would you compare, because you've been in that number, in that meeting room, Nick Easton versus James Hurst? Because James Hurst is in that number, a seven-year veteran, basically the same age as Nick Easton, but out of North Carolina, played with the Ravens a number of starts. So is that like money involved, obviously? But to me, I'm encouraged going forward, James Hurst, even though Nick Easton did an outstanding job.
Yeah, you know, I was a little bit critical of Nick in the beginning, you know, and I didn't make that any kind of secret, and not critical in a, you know, certainly a personal way, but as far as what I thought was serviceable in, at this time. And look, I sort of have to bite my tongue on that just from the standpoint of, look, I was wrong. And I'm having a problem saying it. I think he did a really a good job, especially in the face of adversity, from the standpoint of when they did have to put him in at different spots.
Right.
He did a good job. And look, it might not have been pretty, but he held his own. And look, that's just one of the things that, you know, you have to do at this level. Is the better you are at being able to be versatile, hey, the more you can do. And certainly he lived up to that moniker for sure.
Now, Steve, what is your – I know it was 1 year he just came on board, you know, jumbo package, Zach Treve did that, James Hurst. And then you plug and play, he could start at guard or tackle. And to me, it seems like he did a formidable job going forward, the expectation with him.
Yeah, no, I think it was the same thing. I think he did a great job, just from the standpoint of what he was able to accomplish coming in a short period, and then you know, being able to sort of matriculate into that offense and be pretty good, and really not. He certainly didn't set us back any. You know, there wasn't any glaring issues there, and he certainly didn't have a bunch of mental errors and things like that blew it up. So, look, you're not going to be able to play offensive line in this league, much less with the Saints offense, and as formidable as we are offensively, unless you know exactly what to do and you know how to do it very well. So when you're a backup here in our offensive line, you're just like
a starter. Yeah,
absolutely. And you have to be. How many times have we seen all the offensive linemen that we cut every year end up starting for other teams? It's happened 3 or 4 years now. Every time I look in, you know, on the news and I find out where these guys that I just was with in the, you know, the mini camps and coaching them up and things like that, and I'm thinking, man, you know, I'm telling Rauscher at the time, you know, hey, you've got a problem. And he said, what's that? And I said, well, it's a good problem. It's just the fact that you've got about 10 or 11 starters and you only got 5 spots. And he said, yeah, it's problem to have, and it's right. But what happens is these guys end up getting cut. You only keep 8, and they all end up starting for some other team. And it just goes to show you what a great job that we've done at acquiring that kind of talent.
Now, Steve, before we let you run the top of the hour, you look at the Saints' losses this offseason. Who will the Saints miss the most? Whose name is not? It's not Drew Brees. It isn't Drew Brees. Trey Hendrickson, Sheldon Rankins, Emmanuel Sanders, Jack Rabbit, Jerry Cook. It goes on and on. Quan Alexander, Morstead, you know, Malcolm Brown, Josh Hill, Nick Easton.
Yeah.
He goes on. Who do you think that listen, we would love to keep everybody on board and continue to build, but who do you think that we're going to miss in the 2021 season?
Well, like I said before, I think you're going to miss a lot of them. And, you know, Morstead comes to mind first and foremost because of all the things that he's able to do. And it's not a sexy thing, and it's not, certainly not something that everybody looks at. But, football people do. And I look at it and I think, man, how many times has the guy bailed us out of situations? How many times is he taking that hidden yardage to put it in our favor? You know,
yes.
By pinning teams deep and things like that. That's so critical. So I think he'll be the one I would have in there. But then I would also, I guess if you're pushing me in this situation, look, I know what pass, you know, rushers do and how important that is. And Hendrickson comes up to mind. But at the same time, I still think you don't get people like Jack Rabbit around every now and then. And I think that the plays that that guy was capable of making, I think is going to be visible. And I think anytime those kind of cornerbacks are hard to find. Look, there's a bunch of them out there, and there's a bunch of them that play at a really good level. But there's only a handful of them that are able to kind of be at that second level to where they're big playmakers, and they've got ball skills. And I think that he's certainly one of those. So I guess if you had to push me, I would say it would probably be Jack Rabbit. Yeah.
We always appreciate the perspective of Jumbo Steve Court. Thanks for joining us.
Pleasure's all mine, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Steve. Thanks, man.
He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Mark Menard. We're going to wrap this thing up after this. Stay tuned. A little bit more to come on WWL. The closing minutes of Sports Talk here on WWL. I'm Mark Menard, in for Christian Garrick, along with Bobby Hebert. And a dubious anniversary today, Bobby. It was 20 years ago today.
20 years ago today
that Randy Johnson was on the mound in a Major League Baseball game and plucked the bird out of the air with a fastball. Plucked might be understating it. He exploded a bird.
The bottom line, it was like it wasn't even a bullet. It was like all of a sudden, like a musket ball. It just, it was just like the bird did not exist. A bunch of feathers. It was like a small cannonball.
What was the line from Monty Python? It has ceased to be.
Yeah, ceased to be. I mean, it's amazing.
I'm watching the video right now.
So that was 20 years ago.
20 years ago today that Randy Johnson exploded a bird mid-flight with a fastball.
So PETA probably said they should cancel all Major League Baseball games because of that.
I don't know how PETA responded to the deal, but you got to think, what a freak occurrence that a bird is flying down into a Major League Baseball stadium in the flight path of the baseball. You know, usually the birds kind of stay away from there.
Yeah, talk about bad luck. Whether it's a seagull or whatever it might be, they're trying to get, I don't know, popcorn that falls to the ground or whatever. But to be flying behind the catcher, that was like a big bullet that just all of a sudden, I guess it was meant to be, that bird was no longer in existence and just exploded. It was like a bunch of feathers.
Right.
I mean, it was not even, it was like no chance that we can revive the bird.
There was reviving the bird.
You're getting hit by 100 miles per hour, basically, in baseball.
And on that note, we're going to end it for tonight. We'll be back tomorrow. Stan Van Gundy of the Pelicans joins us tomorrow at 4:30. I'm Mark Menard. Keep your hopes up high and your head down low. Bobby, take us home.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hootin'!
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.